A buddy, welcome to a Friday Bulldog Hours, two-hour version, as always, on a Friday of the Bulldog Hour. Our good friend Bobby alongside here until 4, and then we'll hand it off to two other good friends, Nick and Nick the Zone from Fashion Furniture, with another good friend and great supporter of Fresno State Athletics, Rod Avedikian, and they will take you to 6 o'clock. Now, that was not the schedule at the start of the week. I think everybody knows, and we had talked about it, that we thought we would be up early and that we would end up with a 3:30 pregame from Stillwater with Paul and the Fresno State baseball team, and a 4 o'clock first pitch and 3 against the Cowboys back in Oklahoma. It did not work out that way. As a matter of fact, I think people are aware by now, the baseball team got as far as Dallas before they had to come back home. We had mentioned yesterday the softball team, Linda Garza and company, were headed to Boise. They were in Seattle, and they had to make the flight back home. And that's just the way it's been this week. And we know that there's going to be a lot of maneuvering behind the scenes to try to figure out what to do. Terry Toomey made the comment yesterday that everything will be reevaluated on March 18. We'll see what happens, but at the moment, everything is on hold at Fresno State. We already know what the NC2A has done. We know what the Mountain West, in accordance with that, has had to do, and that, of course, in a domino effect way, brought it right to Fresno State. So we're going to wait and see. For today, we'll talk to Marcus. We'll talk to CG, as always, on a Friday. We'll go over your emails. But first, before we do any of that, I want to bring our good friend Jackson Moore up, because he's right there at the university, of course, the proprietor of barkboard.com, and get any update, if there are updates to be had. Jackson, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Jackson. You know, we always want to keep this thing in perspective, and we can look at what happened after the terrible tragedy, 9/11, which was on a Tuesday, and I've mentioned that the toughest time in the many, many years I've been on air, which goes back to 1975, so it's been a long time, that it wasn't 9/11 that was the toughest day on air, because we were preempted by ABC News coverage. We were an ESPN affiliate at that point as well. It was the day after. It was for us trying to figure out what to do on September 12th, because we knew how trivial sport was. We also knew, for a lot of people, it was not only their vocation, but their avocation. It was their escape from a lot of things emotionally. And we tried to figure out how we were going to get back to sport. That was a terrible, terrible tragedy, obviously, for the country. But we knew that it was a finite issue in regard to, at some point in the foreseeable future, we would get back on the horse and talk about sport as we always had. This, Jackson, is so filled with uncertainty. We don't know if it's going to be next week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months, if it's going to be September before we get back to sport. We just don't know. So I'm not going to equate the tragedy of that singular day, September 11, 2001, to this, but this has a shelf life that we're not sure how long it might last. And so that's what makes this so difficult to do this, or really for anybody who is in the toy department, if you will. And I'm going to say it one more time. It is the toy department. It is escapism, but it is also a business for a lot of people. It is their vocation and their avocation at the same time. So I'm not going to minimize the import for those that make their living around this particular area. And I appreciate our friend Gary up in Atwater. Gary, thanks for the email. It was a really nice one, and a good laugh at the end, which I could use these days. All right, Jackson, that having been said, anything new at Fresno State? Is this truly the pause button as far as what the university is going to do, and we'll figure something out on March 18, and I'm talking about in relation to spring football, whether we're going to go back and have the bat and ball sports, for instance, practice every day and maybe put together a bus league, because we know nobody wants to take a plane flight, and have everybody who's playing tested, and if everybody's all right, then you can play the UOPs. Where are we at? Do you have any idea the what-ifs? Where are we at?
Yeah, Tony, it's amazing how different the tone has changed since we were just talking about this on Tuesday. And
yes,
it does
no
seem
doubt.
Like, you know, we discussed, it hasn't really, as far as we know, impacted the Valley too hard specifically. And even as You see the viewpoints of the NBA and the whole country seem like it's shutting down with some developments happening. But it still was not a situation where I think Fresno State in particular had to be as urgent as some places in the country. And the NCAA and the Mountain West and just about everyone involved, I think, has taken a lot of the decisions out of their hands. I think they would have followed suit anyway. But when you have spring seasons canceled, it seems like Fresno State doesn't have to make too many decisions. It's pretty much been made for them. I don't think we're going to see any organized sports the rest of the school year. And really the only thing that they do have in their hands is spring football. And that's about the same case for just about all the major universities right now. How are they going to handle that? Will they practice at all? I mean, you don't have players traveling and competing with players from other parts of the country. So that's a plus if they decide to go forward with it. But much like other programs, it seems like it's kind of a wait and see. I know Cal and San Jose State, for example, we're going to wait kind of till April to see if this blows over a little bit and if they can get back to it. For Fresno State, they did mention that March 18th date. I think that's got to be a little sooner than now. After they've made that announcement, it's gotten a little more serious, and
right.
I think they would have to wait a little bit longer than that. But I think right now you can kind of look towards April to see if it gets to a situation where they can continue. Perhaps we see some spring football, but otherwise, it's hard to say if we're ever going to see any more Fresno State sports over the next couple of months until the fall comes around.
Well, you and I, over the last several years, have visited on a daily basis during spring football, and that certainly we thought would be the case this year, but it is not going to be. You and I will continue to visit on Wednesdays, obviously, and anything else that might be relevant that comes up will be brought forward, as is the case today with you jumping on air, and I do appreciate it, my friend. A couple of things before I let you go and head to Marcus. One, the talk now of eligibility being granted for spring sport athletes so that this year comes back to them. Jackson, is that a likely occurrence from what we're hearing right now?
Yeah, it's been reported that that's expected to happen pretty soon. I don't think the NCAA themselves has announced it, but it has been reported that that is what they are going to do for all spring sports. And then you get into some other discussions about some other sports, obviously basketball and wrestling. You have a lot of student athletes that didn't get to finish out the season, but at the same time, I mean, for basketball, most of those guys played, or and women played a good 30 games or so. For the men's Fresno State team, for example, they were one of the few that actually got to finish their season. So I'm not exactly sure there's an easy way to solve that. I mean, even I was looking at Equestrian. They go from September to April. I mean, they played a lot of their season, but what do you do now? You don't get to play the championships. So a lot of discussions there, but the good news for the spring student athletes is that it does look like they're going to get that year of eligibility back. It is going to impact recruiting and roster sizes. I imagine they're going to have to give some sort of waiver for that next season, assuming everything gets back to normal. But good news, at least in the short term, for those baseball and softball players and other sports that thought maybe their career was over, or they thought that that 1 year of their career had been kind of ruined if they weren't seniors already. So some good news there, at least looking ahead.
Yeah, and then you bring up, when we've talked about the basketball situation for the Fresno State women coming off the tremendous disappointment because of the way that game ended against Boise State, and they were looking forward to at least the WNIT. Now that's not the case, and the eligibility may not be restored. In wrestling, you had Bulldog wrestlers getting ready for national championship shots, and that goes out the window, too. It's incredibly, I mean, it's beyond unfortunate for those that have dedicated so much of their life, particularly you were talking about student athletes who are in that 20 to 22-year-old range, Jackson. They're just, it's been most, if not all, of their athletic life geared toward this type of thing, and there's nothing that can be done about it. The other two things I want to ask you about here quickly. One is school itself. Is Fresno State now in the internet-only mode for 30 days? Is that indeed the case?
It does appear to be so, or they're transitioning towards that now and trying to get that going by the end of next week. And I believe they said they could revisit it before the 30 days, but that looks like the tentative plan for now. And that also makes me question, could spring practice take place during that time period if there's basically nothing going on at campus? Or are they going to put the football players out there and have them involved when classes aren't going on? So that may impact that decision as well. It may be another thing that gets taken out of athletics' hands.
And then the final thing is just about that topic, and that is spring football. In theory, Jackson, you're talking about nobody in the stands anyway. I mean, there's a spring game, but I mean, as you know, the media in a general sense has been locked out anyhow. So it has been a very private proposition for a number of years. You have guys, when you have your helmets and your pads on, et cetera, that the contact risk is not quite as great as, say, basketball, where you are, you know, literally leaning on one another, sweating on one another, the type of thing that the NBA was worried about. But the flip side of it, Jackson, and you know this, you have 100 or so guys that are all in close quarters in the locker room, et cetera. You have coaches, whatever. That and that alone, how in the world do you get around that one? Leave the insurance issues aside, the student athletes who are really not going to class the way they were traditionally, the athletic department may be shut down otherwise. Leave all of that aside, which is a major thing to leave aside. Can you at this point, because you and I both know the problem here, and I've mentioned this so often, Jackson, most of the time in life, change is made when the fear of the known exceeds the fear of the unknown. In other words, you know, in a figurative sense, the bridge is blown out in front of you, a path of your life. It's easier to take a different path when you know what was in front of you wasn't working. You're not sure what the other path is going to give you, but it's got to be better than the dead end you're on. This is the opposite. This is the fear of the unknown, what might happen with this coronavirus. It is that fear that is exceeding what we know at the moment. Because of it, Jackson, because of the uncertainty, can you put 100-plus players together in a confined area, even if they're not in that environment? When they're out in the field, they are in the locker room. Can you do that at this point with any degree of certainty it's going to be okay?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge concern, and I think that even goes to if you don't have spring practice, even if you're just doing weightlifting or conditioning, I mean, you still have that locker room camaraderie. I mean, it doesn't have the impact that the Utah Jazz situation had on the NBA, but there's been reports in Tulsa that there's been a quarantine with a few players, and maybe if it happens to a bigger school, you have one or two players that get it, I think it's going to spill over and just totally shut down any activities that any college football teams might be trying to have at this time. So I think teams are going to have to be ultra careful with the situation. And there's also kind of that liability of who's going to be first in the sports world to get back going if it turns out bad based off the situation that they bring upon. So, I mean, it's a situation now, and I think it's going to be another similar situation of when to get back to normal and return to activities for a lot of these programs and leagues as well. And so from my viewpoint for the foreseeable future, I think it's just going to be primarily recruiting for the next couple of months, and then you have your typical off season where that's all it is anyway in the summertime. But there's no on-campus visits, there's no in-person visits being permitted, but coaches are still able to recruit players via the phone, text messages, internet messages. And so that's probably going to be the biggest source of interest going over the next couple of months in my mind.
Well, you and I are going to coincidentally reconvene on Wednesday. It also happens to be March 18th. So it works out that when we hit the airwaves together at 2:05 on Wednesday, well, I would assume have Fresno State's further word about this, but I do agree with you. I can't imagine there's going to be anything that Terry Toomey and company can do in a definitive sense that quickly. We'll see what happens. Jackson, I appreciate it. As always, I hope people visit the board at barkboard.com. Always appreciate your time, my friend. I'll talk to you next week. Take care.
You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, guys, our good friend Jackson Moore. Right now, I want to move to another good friend, Marcus Grant, NFL Network, NFL.com. Marcus, how you doing?
Yeah, I caught the end of your conversation with Jackson. It's just, you know, it's a weird time for everybody right now.
Well, it sure is. And I talked about 2001. We went through it. And you know, Marcus, how odd and strange that was. And, you know, broadcasting baseball, whether you're on the air with me, whatever it might have been, it was a difficult time, but like I said, as bad as it was, we knew it was going to be a fairly short period of time before mandatorily everybody went back to sport. Here, everybody wants to go back to sport, but they're having a very, very difficult time trying to figure out the path. I mean, even the things that we had talked about on air yesterday, for instance, I had brought up auto racing, because you don't need to necessarily have people in the stands. It helps, but it is not something television-wise that you hear audibly. Maybe at the end of the race you might hear it, but the roar of the engines basically drown it out. Yeah, you don't want to see empty stands going by, but you can tighten the camera angle so that that's not as noticeable. But even with that, the IndyCar guys said, okay, we're going to go in St. Petersburg to open the season. And then what happens? Long Beach has to be canceled because of the rules in California about gatherings. And you know this, Marcus, outside of the Indy 500, that's the biggest social gathering that you have. Mm-hmm. You've seen what it's like down there, celebrities, everybody. They can't do it. Even NASCAR now is having to cancel races, Formula One. So even that, even golf now, we saw them stop the TPC one round in. Now the Masters has been postponed. So we're at a point where individual sport where there is separation between people, in the case of auto racing, drivers within cars, or, as you know, golfing-wise, you can keep a good distance from anybody if you choose to. That isn't working. So if that's not going to work, team sport cannot work. So I will ask you, since you and I are both inveterate sports fans, any part of this, because I have a number of emails, you saw them because I emailed to you what I'll be talking to CG about in the 3 o'clock hour, is there any part of you that says there has been an overreaction in any area of this right now?
I mean, I don't look, and I know that, you know, everybody is going to have their own opinion on this, right? But just from everything that I've observed, I've read, I've heard, I mean, we're still at a point where we don't completely know how this is transmitted. But the thing that we do seem to know is that it has spread quickly. It has spread, you know, widely in a lot of places. I mean, just looking at some of these European countries that are pretty much locking down, you know, it shows that this thing has really spread like wildfire, you know, across the world. And the fact that we know that there are certain parts of the population, whether it's folks who are older, people with other certain underlying health conditions that are especially vulnerable. I mean, I just think that until.
Bobby, did we lose Marcus here momentarily? Bobby, I'm not hearing.
Hello.
Oh, okay. There you go, Marcus.
I'm right here? Okay, cool.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, until we get a better idea, better handle on how this thing spreads and you know, what we might be able to do to try and slow the spread or prevent it or stop it or what have you, I mean, I just think this is the precaution. And I know it's frustrating for a lot of people, you know, people who obviously enjoy sports as a diversion, for people, as you mentioned earlier, who do this for a living. I understand the frustration, but I think in times like this, I think the precaution is necessary to try and avoid what could be a lot more suffering and pain for a lot of people.
Well, you mentioned what's going on in Europe. I have relatives, obviously, in Italy. There's a stunner. Imagine that. And they are probably hit harder, a country of 60-plus million hit harder than anybody right now in the developed world, because that's where the reporting is, obviously. What's happening in other areas that we're not getting reporting, I don't know. But it is a horrendous situation, and you don't want to see it repeated anywhere. Obviously, here we don't want to find out post facto that it was a major mistake to put people out in the field to play. The thing, Marcus, and I know you know this well, that complicates this so much is that the impact is, generally speaking, and it's not going to be the case across the board, but from a general sense, it's going to be the elderly population, particularly people over 70, in some places over 60. It is not something that would appear to be impactful with the student athlete, and there appears in the emails to be, when I've gotten anyway, a rather distinct line of separation here, a line of demarcation, saying, okay, what happens with the professional sports, That's one thing, because that is both their avocation and their vocation, and they can, and I talked about it yesterday, they can delay if they choose to the middle of summer, and yeah, it might truncate a little bit of your time off, but you can fold the seasons together. We've seen the NFL, we saw the NBA miss a good portion of a season and play a 60-game schedule. We've seen the NFL, as you know, Marcus, miss half a year and still play. It seems to come down to the student athletes. They appear to not be at risk as a group. Are we treating the student athletes unfairly by putting them in the same bundle as the pro athletes? Or, again, do you have no choice if you're an administrator or an academic body of any kind?
Yeah, no, I think we're all sort of in the same boat, regardless of age. And I think it's because of at least what we have seen with the spread of this thing so far is that, you know, while, yes, people who are younger, who are healthier, aren't going to be as severely affected by this, the fact remains that they can still, you know, carry this virus, they can still transmit it to other people. And this is sort of, about the greater good at this point and trying to protect those who are more vulnerable than the rest of us. So while, you know, your average 18 to 20-year-old athlete probably will not, you know, either won't catch this or won't have the symptoms as severe, the fact is we all have people, whether friends or family or what have you, who probably fall into one of those higher risk categories. And I think the idea of this is to try and limit how much we spread this around to those people who potentially could be more severely impacted.
When we talk about people that have dedicated their lives to certain things and they're now having it either taken away, and for the younger athlete, you hope that there are greater athletic accomplishments to come, but for many, a state championship, for instance, the players at Sierra Pacific who did win a couple of years ago, and that's fine, but they're deprived of a chance to compete for a title in Sacramento, which would have been tomorrow morning, as a matter of fact, and it's not lost on people that they probably would not have played in front of a ton of people at Golden One Center at 10 o'clock in the morning, yet they still are not allowed to do this. That is one level. The other is one I was talking to a friend about last night. I had brought it up on air. Andrew Martin, our good friend, is headed or supposed to be headed to Tokyo in the summer for the Olympics for Nexstar. He's been reporting the last couple of Olympics for Nexstar, who owns a ton of stations, including 24 and 47 here in town, where Andrew's sports director. But I brought up Jenna Prandini, who we know well, who has fought through injury, is in her absolute athletic prime right now, and is back healthy and running as well as she has run. And, Marcus, I talked to Jenna right out of high school, out of Clovis High, about the 2012 Olympics, and it seemed like just yesterday we were having this discussion, and I was saying, well, it's a little tight to get to 2012 time-wise, but how about 2016? Now, here we go, 2020. The level of commitment that you're in your mid to late 20s, the level of commitment, Marcus, to do this and to have it taken away potentially. We talked about the politics of 1980. I was just talking to Matt Norville about it yesterday. And we know the reasons that the U.S. did not go to the Soviet Union. And it did deprive athletes of a chance. And sometimes, 4 years later, you can't even make your own Olympic team, never mind competing against the world. That's how quick the window opens and closes. What about those for Tokyo? They're saying that they cannot postpone these games. They either have to take place or they have to be canceled. Is that the ultimate indignity for people that have fought so hard to have the international stage taken away? Or, M, do you say it's the same situation no matter what is at stake? It is still the same deal.
I mean, it is. I think you do feel, look, I don't know if we want to go with levels of who you feel worse for or whatever. I think everybody has, you know, is going to have their own hardships in this whole thing. But I think it's one of those things. And I mean, if there is a, I don't want to say silver lining to this thing, but I think there's a difference between looking at what we're talking about for this virus situation, right, and having and losing it that way versus losing it, you know, as you mentioned, in 1980, losing it over a political debate in which you as the athlete really have no say when people, you know, above you are making these decisions on your behalf. I think that one, to me, would be a little bit harder to swallow than looking at this and realizing that we are in the midst of a global health crisis and that this is being done that's for the better good. I mean, I think if you talk about you know, political debates. There are so many nuances and so many differing opinions here. I feel like this one, it feels like as an athlete, this is more sort of out of your hands and that this is being done for the greater good. And so, you know, in the end, I know that, you know, that may not completely alleviate the sting of something like that, especially if you're not able to compete the next go around. But I guess if there is a way to sort of cushion, I guess that's the way I'd think of it.
I've got a bunch of emails. I'll go over with CG in the 3 o'clock hour, and then we'll lead to Nick and Nick in the zone at Fashion Furniture from 4 to 6. And then back to the national network. And by the way, at ESPN on television, what's going to happen here, none of the local shows, First Take was on today, but the local shows, the national shows that are a daily menu, if you will, for ESPN, the daily staple. The highly questionables, the around the horns, the, PTIs, those are going to be put aside, and they're going to simulcast what we hear on radio, which you already have on using ESPN News. They'll put it in a more prominent setting and just use the radio simulcast and then repeats or continual SportsCenter, I guess, is the best way, because they will be done live throughout the day while they wait this thing out. And as we said, we don't know how long it's going to be. And the two things I want to ask you about before the break, and we'll come back, I want to talk about the NFL, since that is your stock and trade down there at NFL Network. But the one is the thing I brought up a little bit earlier, Marcus, and I realize there are insurance issues, what have you. Let's say, for the sake of argument, what comes out of this is what we already know. The NC2A has decided we're closing up shop for the year with in regard to national championships. I don't know if it was necessary to make that blanket statement about the spring sports, but that was their prerogative to do so. I understand about the winter sports. But let's say that, well, the league, meaning the Mountain West, has their point of view. What if Fresno State and schools within California say, in a club setting, because we do not have to fly, so we can control the environment more, you can roll down the windows, the kind of things you cannot do otherwise, and get everybody tested. Could you see the bat and ball sports, softball and baseball, in the state playing one another just so everybody stays active, or are there too many logistics and too many legalities for that to happen independent of the danger of the transmission? If that's mitigated, could you do this, or are you going to say, nope, insurance-wise, we just can't?
Yeah, I just feel like there are so many other underlying issues there. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, leaving aside any kind of transmission of the virus or what have you, you know, I mean, we know just on a regular basis, just the liabilities and the insurance things that have to go and that are involved in this sort of thing. And so I have a hard time thinking that, you know, the teams or the schools on their own would sort of strike out to do this individually. It feels like a major, major undertaking. So I think that if the leagues, if the NC2A decide that they're just going to kind of put a halt to this whole thing, I think that's just going to be it. And I think we're going to have to figure out how to survive without those sports until we all decide that it's okay to go out and play again.
The other thing, I initially, and we had the one email about it, saying if there's not going to be an audience, I mean, LeBron brought it up and then he backtracked, but if there's not going to be a fan base to watch it, there's no point in playing it. I'm starting to back off of that because I have much more sympathy for the athletes, particularly student athletes. Marcus, should it have been visited a little bit more about just playing the remainder of the NC2A and high school sports with nobody around? Should there have been more consideration given to that, or do you think there was?
You know, I mean, I think there was. I honestly think that, I mean, look, the Warriors were all set to play a game with no one in the stands. I think what happened was, you know, a couple of nights ago, the world kind of got flipped upside down. I mean, I think it was sort of two things. And, you know, maybe we look back on them and think of them as sort of like, you know, wow moments or what have you. I mean, I think it's, you know, it was Rudy Gobert testing positive. It was Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson testing positive. And,
in Australia,
you know, I mean, say what you will about it. You know, that I think forced a lot of people to take it seriously. And I think once those two reports came out, that's when you started to see a lot of the sports leagues say where they're suspending or canceling or what have you. And there's been a domino effect from there. But I do think that, you know, had those two things not happened, I think you would have seen a lot more sporting events go on without fans in the stands. I mean, it seemed we were all set to have the NCAA tournament with no fans in the stands until everything else sort of happened a couple of nights ago and everything kind of fell to where we are right now. But I do think there was legitimate consideration given to that circumstance.
I'm going to ask you, too, about the one potential compromise that they discarded at the NCAA level about the big dance. We'll do that after this, as Marcus is with us until 3, and then CG will come along. We'll take you to 4 with your emails, tdad1@att.net. I don't need to tell you, it's a singular topic that seems to go through all of these emails. Take a wild stab what that might be, and then Nick and Nick will come up after that. Take a break on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN. Welcome back. 2:39 here with the Bulldog Hours until 4 o'clock. It'll be time for Nick and Nick, the Zone 4 to 6 from Fashion Furniture. Initially, we would have baseball from Oklahoma State, from Stillwater, Fresno State, and the Cowboys with 3, but those will not be played, as will the games between Boise State and Fresno State be put on the back burner, and maybe they're done for good in conference. We'll see how that plays out. I would imagine that's the case. But for right now, both teams back at home, as the baseball team had to come back from Dallas on their way to Stillwater, and the softball team in Seattle was getting ready to take the connecting flight to Boise when they got word they had to come back home as well. We'll talk to CG in hour 2. Talking with Marcus, as always, in the 2 o'clock hour. And I want to ask you here about the potential that it was dismissed, the potential compromise they had for the big dance to have 16 teams, which for someone of my age rings rather familiar, because that's how big the field was in the 60s. When I was a kid, you had the 16 conference champions, no at-larges. It's the reason, you know, as a Trojan fan, you're probably aware of this. USC had the number 2 team in the country, and they didn't make the NCAAs because, oh, guess who? And you just heard the promo if you were listening live on air. CG talking about UCLA. You had those mighty Bruin teams in the midst of their 7 straight and 10 and 12. And so you had no at-larges. You just had conference champions. So you had 16. They thought about going to just 16 now in 4 different venues, and then I think getting to Atlanta, but it was kicked out. Should they have considered it more strongly, or was it right back to what you're talking about? No matter what you try to do, you have so much in regard to the humanity and in respect to personnel that you just can't say it's, hey, it's only 16 teams. You're talking about a whole bunch of people, period, no matter what you might do in divvying up venues.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's you know, you can say it's just 16 teams until, you know, it's somebody that you know or care about that is involved in that and potentially putting themselves at risk of infection. I think that sort of changes things. You know, and then just logistically, the idea of having these teams travel and using venues, and you've got, you know, you still have employees that have to open up these venues and what have you. I think there's just a lot involved. And then I think you added an extra wrinkle when you have, you know, schools like Duke and Kansas saying that either they aren't going to travel or they're going to wait, take a wait and see attitude before that. I mean, it's hard to imagine you can have a tournament even with 16 teams when you have 2 of the top programs in the country saying that they may not want to be involved.
Well, Gavitt, and that is son of that Gavitt. Okay, the original Gavitt is no longer with us. But he said that it was met with mixed reaction and that they were going to use the committee to seed the top 16, so they weren't going to go back to conference champions only. It was a novel idea, but there probably was not enough time to make that kind of determination whether it would work. And what you're bringing up is something that we talked, but the Gobert issue, you're right, brought it, and not just the foolishness of what he did. He's apologized for that, but the mere fact that he had the virus did bring it home to a lot of people. That and the fact that you had two teams, Marcus and the ACC, who had privately told the league in the middle of their conference tournament they weren't going to play. That forced the hand of the ACC, and then the domino effect took place. You know that Creighton and St. John's, they were at halftime, and that game was stopped. And that had to do with what was going on with the ACC, because when you had two teams saying they weren't going to play, that pretty much took care of it, didn't it? By the way, UFC in Brazil, Leon Oliveira, that's going to be evidently still on the calendar here coming up over the weekend, but without fans. So that's that compromise there. All right, I want to ask you about the NFL draft. You are there at NFL Network, NFL.com. It has great meaning around here because this was supposed to be the Raiders coming out party in Las Vegas. Talk about a party. It was going to be a huge party. What is the league going to do now with this thing, Marcus? I mean, in theory, they can go back to what they used to do. They can do the draft by telephone. But as far as making it the multi-night spectacle it was supposed to be, they have any shot in the world of doing this when they're about a month away?
I mean, just speaking personally, I'm skeptical that that's going to happen. We have been joking privately that they may just do it over Google Hangouts or something like that, or that it'll look like your average fantasy football draft that they had, that's held online.
Right. Taco MacArthur will be the MC. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
How's your mama? I mean, we go. Okay. Right. Draft him from the Bengals, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, we've been kind of peek behind the curtain. We have been having company-wide conference calls about what is going to happen next. I mean, we have been told that actually starting today until further notice, unless you are, I think the phrase is operationally necessary, essentially, basically, unless you are directly helping put a show on air, you have been mandated to work from home. We know that the owners' meetings that were scheduled for the end of this month have been canceled. There is talk whether or not we will have free agency a schedule. I mean, like, free agency is set to begin next week, but there's no certainty as to whether or not that's going to happen. And as you just watch all these other dominoes fall of events being postponed or canceled or what have you, it just becomes harder to imagine that the league will end up having its big draft celebration as it normally does. I don't know that even if it were scheduled to go on, if you would have a large contingency of fans that feel comfortable traveling to Las Vegas and being in a large public setting like that. So I think, just logistically, it just may not be something that is able to happen. But, as we've all been told, within our own groups, everything is sort of fast moving. So right now, while there hasn't been an official decision made, we could all wake up on Monday morning and realize that this whole thing has been shut down. So I would say personally, again, I'm skeptical that this will happen. But as of now, there has not been an official decision made on what's going to happen.
What I find really fascinating about the public perception issue is the fact that the league has pulled all scouts off the road, which means the face-to-face meetings with your potential draftees is not there. And the reason I find this of interest, Mark, is that would appear to me to be less about exposure. Yes, okay, you don't want your scouts traveling. I get it, but you're talking about singular individuals, not groups. So I don't see the risk, the widespread risk there, but there is a public perception that you want to be very careful. But how much does that, we heard one, and I cannot repeat it on air. People, you're aware of what I'm about to say. People across the Great Valley may not know. One individual was asked, is there anything he would change about himself? And you know what his answer was, right? Okay. A fascinating answer that cannot be repeated. But those types of things, those types of things, me too, by the way, and just about 90%, certainly not you, but 90% of the population, Marcus. But the point is, the answers, not so much that one, those are things you want to see face-to-face. You don't want to see via Skype or what have you. Does this impact the draft in a tangible sense if you don't have your face-to-face meetings, or is it much ado about nothing anyway?
No, I mean, I do think it impacts the draft. And a thing that I think a lot of people have started to point out recently is that, look, it's not going to affect the guys at the top of the draft, right? I mean, Joe Burrow knows where he's going to go. Guys like Tua Tagovailoa, all your top wide receivers, these guys are pretty much set. The guys that will be impacted by this are, you know, some of your small school guys. They'll be your players who didn't get a combine invite, who are generally reliant upon their pro days to try and make an impression with scouts. And yes, sure, the scouts can go back and they can look at the game film and they can sort of watch there, but there is something to be said for being able to interact with the scouts, the decision makers, and being able to kind of show what you can do in person. You know, and we always see that, right? Guys who don't get invited to combine, who get drafted, sometimes these guys end up making large impacts. I think this could be a year where you see fewer of those guys get drafted just because, you know, as pro days get canceled, they aren't going to have the opportunity maybe to show their skills in a large forum the way they would have in the past.
Now, the NFL catches one break. The XFL, of course, has been stopped right now, which is unfortunate because some people were embracing the league, but right now they are like every other team sport on hold. The league itself, the NFL, has not changed its timeline. You mentioned that the meetings have been moved around, but as far as where they intend to start next season, they're still right there, and hopefully we're going to have a resolution by the time we roll into August. I would be very hopeful that that is the case. But beyond that, I wanted to ask you, since both you and I are inveterate baseball fans, there's a two-week regular season. Now, I want to make this clear. When they said 2 weeks, some people thought they meant, well, right now, kind of like suspending a coach in the off season a little bit, right? You know, we're suspending Nick Saban in August. Oh, geez, try not to be too harsh about it. Okay? But you know that they're talking about the first 2 weeks of regular season. And one of the reasons, like, for instance, in Seattle, they were told that you can't have those gatherings. In San Francisco, you couldn't either. So you were not going to be able to start the season normally anyway. What is your guess? After 2 weeks, are we going to see baseball back? And I bring this up because you could play it without fans. And I had an email about this, Marcus. Would it be something where Major League Baseball, because we know the NBA is worried about this, the doomsday scenario, the Players Association worried about that doomsday scenario that says, because it's in the fine print, it's always the devil in the details, right? That if they don't have the revenues coming in because they're not playing, that maybe they, the players, also have to take the hit. That's something they're aware of, and it intensifies your interest to get back on the court if you're not one of the guys making mega billions. In baseball, the whole sport would love to have the stage to itself. Could that impact a decision without fans to say, you know what, we're coming back when nobody else is because we need this boost? I mean, is that something that could be in the back of Manfred's mind and every other owner here as long as they feel they're not putting players at risk?
I'm sure that if it hasn't been discussed, it probably will be discussed.
Just not publicly.
Certainly not publicly.
We're drowning here, so we're going to play no matter what. Yeah, you're right. Might be a bad look. Okay.
Right. I would say as a counterpoint to that, you know, a report, actually, I think Jeff Passan was one of the guys who either started it or maybe it was his report to begin with, you know, made the mention that according to people he's talked to, there's not even a strong belief that the league will be ready, yep, you know, after 2 weeks, that the talk is it may be closer to early May before they start. So, I mean, even then,
still
the
apply,
way things
right?
are going,
wouldn't it, yeah, it still apply, though, if nobody else is playing, if the NBA, the NHL on their hands at that point, don't you still reap that benefit somewhat inadvertently or advertently, depending upon how high the level of your cynicism is about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think absolutely. I mean, I think there's, you know, look, there's, but this is unprecedented. Obviously, we have no idea how this is going to go. I mean, what happens if you are the NBA or the NHL and you restart your season? Are those games just lost to time? How do you make the season even so that everybody plays the same number of games? How do you work that out? I think it's easier to start your season you know, say a month late versus taking a month off and then trying to restart everything, knowing that not everybody's played the same number of games and you still have teams that are fighting for playoff seeds. So, you know, even if this is a situation where the league decides to start, say, on May 1st and start playing baseball, there is a very good chance that they could kind of be the only show in town, at least for a couple of weeks.
I'll tell you what, Passan, Woj, Katz, they would leave this town to get away from me no matter what, wouldn't they? They all need to have a commonality. All right. You don't have to thank me, major networks. They all said, we're out of here. That's all there is. Either he goes or we go. And they went. All right. As I let you go, my friend, always appreciate the time. We'll continue to visit on Fridays. I want to ask you, in the very murky crystal ball, what about it at this point? Are we going to have sport as we know it at any point between now and September, for instance? Let's go that far.
I mean, I'm going to say yes. I'm certainly not an epidemiologist, but, you know, if everything you're reading and hearing says that, you know, they hope that within 90 days or so, they have a better handle on this, that what in theory puts us sometime in June, you know, maybe July. So I'd like to hope that by the time we get to the fall, that we will be back to something approximating normal, at least.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want anybody in any more jeopardy than they are right now. But I'll tell you what, my heart absolutely goes out to the student athletes. It just kills me. The pro guys, I know that it's a business, and I get it, and I know the shelf life is very limited, so there is a degree of sympathy there. But the student-athlete, Marcus, I just can't get past it, and I realize that they had to do what they had to do administratively, and I'm not saying I would have made any other decision, because you have to be careful. You have to worry about not only safety but legality and all of that, but it's just really tough to see what could be the zenith of somebody's athletic career taken away at this point. That's the unknown, and the bigger unknown is what happens with this virus going forward. My friend, always appreciate it. I wish it was under better circumstances. We'll reconvene next Friday. Take care.
All right. Take care, Tom.
All right, guys. Marcus Grant, NFL Network, NFL.com. Take a break. Wrap up the hour. Get ready for CG to come in. Emails, and then Nick and Nick right after that on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN. Buddy, welcome back. Hour two of the Bulldog Hours on a Friday. Captain Bobby alongside here until 4 o'clock, and then we'll hand it off to our good friends, Nick Papagni, Nick Anderson, with Rod Avedicki, another good friend at Fashion Furniture for the Zone 4 to 6. Originally today, we should have been about a half hour away from a Bulldog pregame show with Paul in Stillwater, as the Bulldogs should have been getting ready for the first of three against Oklahoma State, but that is not the case. Same thing, of course, should have been softball in Boise today, but that also is not the case. And across the country, you have colleges, high schools, professional sports teams saying the same thing about their schedules. That is the reality of what we face right now, and it is going to continue to be a topic of conversation for a good long while. And for us, certainly between 3 and 4, we're going to go over your emails all about that subject, tdad1@att.net, T-D-A-D, the number one at att.net. And to aid me with that particular endeavor, always on a Friday in the 3 o'clock hour, our great friend Christopher Gabriel, double duty on a Friday. He's already been with you from 7 to 9 in the morning. He's with you from 3 to 6 Monday through Thursday, and then 7 to 9 on Friday, and back with me. A dizzying schedule, particularly with all the great sporting events to talk about right now. Let's bring Christopher up. CG, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. You know, we had a meeting after the program today, Gonzo and I, just talking about a strategy going forward, because we've had so much to talk about this past week, as have you, and the boys coming on after you. But the thing about this is that we get into next week, and it's going to be well. Now what are we talking about? Where do we go with this next? And you really need to have a strategy, Tony. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about bunny racing.
Well, I mentioned we went through it in 2001, and so we sort of know the template, but you are right, and I had brought it up last hour with Marcus, as you know, and that is we knew then, as tragic as the events were on that Tuesday, September 11, 2001, that within a reasonable time period, mandatorily, we were going to get back to sport and everything would be back center stage. Part of it because of the reality of life had to go on, but second, also, it was cathartic. It was escapism. It was not about everybody in the country at that point being in danger the way they are right now with the virus. It doesn't mean this virus in a singular sense is as serious as 2001, but it has a longer lasting potential impact. And so there is not a finite time to this thing. That's what makes it so difficult. It also, as we've talked, Christopher, you and I talked about it when this first came about the other day, nobody wants to be wrong about this. You do not want to be lone wolf. You do not want to be, first of all, you have to have a dance partner, if you will. You can't go out and play a game in team sense if nobody else is going to play. But beyond that, you do not want to be the poster child any institution of any kind of saying those are the ones that were reckless, right? You can't, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
You're completely, your hands are completely tied. Even if you think, as Carter has in one of our emails, that it's an overreaction, you can't afford to take that chance, because if you don't err on the side of caution, history will not look kindly upon you. Is that fair to say?
Oh, it's absolutely fair to say. And there's a couple of things I wanted to hit on that you just talked about. You know, this past September 11th, I opened the program talking about September 11th and how it crossed with sports. And the irony here, Tony, as we look at how this has in some ways been reminiscent of that, the irony here is that after the aftermath of September 11th, it was sports that helped the country get back on its feet. And the ironic part is now with sports going down for the foreseeable near future, what's going to help sports get back on its feet? And then to the other point that you made, and that is about nobody wanted to be a lone wolf, and you mentioned Carter's email, and I suspect we'll get into that a little bit.
Yes.
You knew that what you said on my program, and I know that you said it as well, that it was going to take one league. It turned out it was the Ivy League that really started the ball rolling on this, but once one league decided to shut down, it was obvious that everybody was going to do the same. Now, Tony, we're going to be at a point in 3 weeks, in a month, maybe 2 months. Which league, Tony, will be the one to step out of the shadows and say, we're going to go ahead and get back to playing? And I said I thought it was going to be the NBA going forward to be the first. I think it's going to be, and I think the obvious one, Tony, is I think it's going to be Major League Baseball.
Yeah, so do I.
That's just my feeling, that because they have the beginning of their season here, and they stadiums are going to largely be probably not full because of what's going on. Baseball players are not, the nature of the game obviously is not what basketball is. And I think if anybody's going to lead that charge, it's baseball. So, Tony, that leads me to this, to ask you, if, in fact, baseball decides to be the first league to come back, do you think that we would see the NBA and or the NHL follow suit?
Well, see, that is the intriguing question. And I was just, and as you know, we have an email about baseball maybe inadvertently reaping the benefit of having the stage to itself. And I just asked Marcus, because he is a big-time baseball fan, whether it might, force or certainly impel baseball to look at that a little more strongly, the bottom line, though they would never admit it publicly, obviously. Is it something where they say, you know what, if we can get back and have a stage to ourselves that normally would be usurped by the playoffs of hockey and basketball and other things going on, if we have a chance, maybe we can pull ourselves back into the national consciousness, which is part of what Kevin's email talks about. You can't be reckless about it, CG, but I would agree with you that there are certain elements about baseball. One is being outdoors. You don't have, and this is the first thing that almost every doctor has said, the more open air propositions you have, the greater space you have between fans, right, all the things that don't usually take place inside, that lessens the exposure. It doesn't eliminate it, but it lessens it. The other thing is baseball has become primarily a television sport. It's not a stunner to watch a game in Oakland on a Wednesday afternoon where if there's a foul ball, it looks like the Jode family racing for water, okay? I mean, you've got, you know, you've got people that are making that you see this long, the ball's there, and all of a sudden it takes about 10 seconds before you see all the kids descending upon
right.
it, meaning that there's so much room there that you do not see in an NBA arena that's filled with 20,000
right.
people. All of that, the pastoral, you know, the irony of it, Christopher, is if it has been the pastoral nature of the game that has lost the appeal of the game to people, right, that this is not an agrarian society anymore. That's what people say, right? It's an urban society. Therefore, basketball lends itself to that. Wouldn't it be something if it is the slow, easy nature of the game, the way it's played, the manner in which people watch, that maybe it draws people back if there's nothing else on? That having been said, I don't know if you're going to have players willing to take the chance right now. I mean, look, you brought it up about the Ivy League, and I just talked to Marcus about this. You and I both know, you're right, the Ivy League set the bar, but it was the ACC that really got everybody's attention come conference
yes.
tournament time when there were two teams that privately said, we're not playing. When that happened, all of a sudden, you could not go forward because if one of those two teams happened to make the quarters or the semifinals, guess what? Okay, in baseball, would it take unanimity? Or could you say, if there are certain teams that don't want to play, then they're just not going to play this year? How would you bring baseball back, I guess would be my question to you, and still be safe? We know they're all chartering, so you don't have to worry about that. You could test as long as you need to. But can you bring baseball back without unanimity for 30 teams?
I don't think so, Tony, and I want to elaborate on that, but I really want to hit on what you talked about with baseball, because you set that up so well, and I really enjoyed your conversation with Marcus. And I'm being serious here. You know what what you just said reminds me of is that great line from James Earl Jones in Field of Dreams when he says, and it's so true, Tony, when his character says, the one constant through all the years has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It has been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again, but baseball has marked the time. And that is the power of baseball. We talk about how football has exceeded or gone past baseball in terms of its popularity, in terms of the money that's to be made. But ultimately, the game that we rally around as families and as and summer gatherings and picnics and so on at so many different levels, from the Florida Instructional League through AAA and up to the major league level, is baseball. And so to go right back to your question, baseball, I think one of the things here that needs to happen is if it's going to come back, if they are going to be the leader and come back in 2 weeks or a month, whatever the case may be,
right,
where it makes sense, Tony, is the unanimity. Is baseball saying, we are all on the same page, we have consulted renowned experts, and we're coming back together. If two teams or 8 or 10 or 12 say, we're going to do it, and the rest of the league decides not to, I think that indecision or that inability to find unanimity would give off the wrong vibe. It would tell people, we're not on the same page, we're getting different information, and it would keep me away. But to see the unanimity, that would give me a kind of a sign of strength, and it would remind me again of that great moment after 9/11 when it was the Mets, they were down 3-2 at the seventh or eighth inning, and you had the home run, and the crowd was going out of their minds at Shea Stadium.
Piazza's homer, yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
That's it, Piazza, and it wasn't. It could have been. They could have been losing 10-2 or 3, but it was that great moment of a shot that the country needed, and we all fed off that. And I would argue, and I said it that day on the program, Tony, that we were all New Yorkers that night. We were all Mets fans that night, and I think that's what the unanimity. I realize a long answer to your question. I am sorry. But it's, I think the unanimity is what would strike the right chord.
Well, you know, you talk about that, and I just mentioned that the toughest show to do was not 9/11 because we were preempted by ABC News, part of ESPN's family. It was Wednesday the 12th because we, as a sports entity, had just no notion how we were supposed to approach this. You know, we're going to come on the air on that Wednesday, and we were not going to be talking. First of all, there was no sporting event to talk about, but we weren't going to be talking about the upcoming draft or this, that, or whatever might have been going on at a given time in September, right? We just weren't going to do it.
Right.
We weren't going to talk about, well, you know, what does this mean for the NFL playoffs or for college? And that was a time, keep in mind, when Fresno State had been eighth in the country. And, you know, I've mentioned this so often, CG, the timing of that 9/11, the Bulldogs, the Saturday before, on the 8th, because the 9/11 day was a Tuesday in 2001. On the 8th, the Bulldogs had just won at Camp Randall to finish that three-game stretch of winning at Boulder, beating SI's number one team, Oregon State, just destroying the Beavers here in town, and then going to Camp Randall and winning. They were Sports Illustrated's cover boys, David Carr, all of that stuff, and suddenly none of it meant anything. And here we were with this tremendous momentum in town, knowing that was completely inappropriate, and there's no way in the world we could come on the air on the 12th and say, hey, you know what, it's terrible what happened in New York, but how about those Bulldogs, huh? And,
yeah.
And because of it, we were lost. We were absolutely lost because we did not know what to talk about. This is different in that we don't have anything to talk about because there's no sport being played, but we also don't have that finite, it's going to be okay in a couple of weeks. Yeah, you know, I remember talking to Mario Andretti about winning. His dream growing up in Italy was to be the Formula One champion, right? Didn't even know about auto racing here, which there's an irony there because he's one of the most famous drivers in the history of this country. But he goes, I didn't even know when my family migrated, they even had racing in the U.S. But his dream was to win the Formula One championship. In 1978, as an American, he wins the championship. Unfortunately, his teammate Ronnie Peterson was killed in the same race in a terrible fiery accident. And I've asked Mario about this over the years because I visit with him every year, as you know. And I've said, is there any point that you can enjoy that championship? And he said, Tony, there's not a time frame for that. I can't tell you when I'm going to be able to enjoy that championship. All I can tell you is after 40 years, the other, we talked about in 2018, said, not yet. That's all I can tell you. There isn't a time when I can say it wasn't okay today, but it'll be okay tomorrow. Isn't that where we're at with this right now? There's no way to know when it's going to be okay right now.
Well, that's exactly right. And I mean, if I may take a quick off ramp and then go back to that, it's very reminiscent. As you know, I came from News Talk and I had the honor of doing the first extended radio interview with Clint Hill, who was, of course, a Secret Service agent with John F. Kennedy, and he's the man in the Zapruder film that jumped into the limousine. And
blamed himself every day. Blamed himself every day for it, you know?
Right, and that was where I was going with this, that he was from North Dakota. He came on the program, and I remember it was the 48th anniversary of that awful day, and I remember saying, Mr. Hill, how often do you go back and think about it? And he said, every day. And it was without hesitation. He has never, and to this day, he's not gotten over it. So as the question that you asked, this is something that is evolving every week, every day. It seems like, Tony, every hour this is evolving. And this is the importance of trying to take preventative measures and flattening the curve. You know, we tell people, look it up and see what's going on with that. Until we are able to flatten the curve here through preventative or proactive measures where we can slow this thing down and hospitals and the medical world can catch up, we're just not sure what the timeline on this is. We're not sure. You know, best case scenario, we as sports fans and as part of society where sports is is an escape, and we suspend our real lives to jump into the lives of our kids on the playing fields and courts and watching our alma maters in college and watching our favorite pro teams. We don't know if it's going to be a month from now we're going to be back, or we don't know if come right. August we're going to be talking about bunny racing. I mean, who knows?
Well, look, one thing, because I want to get to Carter's email before the break, but to finish up about baseball, what I find intriguing about it, never mind where it might sit right now in the national hierarchy of sport, because to me it's always, I'm a guy who loves a 3.5 hour baseball game. Doesn't bother me one bit, but I realize that I'm an aberration in that regard. But the thing about baseball, the fact that you can have room in the stands and limit the number of people, and it's still not going to impact a lot of what goes on in the field. It may not be quite the same for the players, but you know what it is, CG. It is an individual sport that is played in a team concept, and it's unique in that regard, right? But also, something you brought up, the physical contact that's there between players in the NBA. Remember what happened with Magic Johnson, even guys like Karl Malone saying, you know what? I don't want to play. I don't want to play because Magic has the HIV virus. Okay, that was born of ignorance, and Karl Malone has admitted that. But the premise was we have contact. We can draw blood. It happens, okay? Hockey, basketball, the same way. Football to a lesser degree. Baseball is the one sport that, by and large, you can play, and you can actually be on the field to play and still, for the most part, have distance between yourself and the individuals you're playing with and against. Because of that, does it, beyond just a desire behind closed doors to maybe get this sport from Rob Manfred on down back center stage, does it have a greater justification in your mind to say that baseball is a sport that has a greater leeway to come back more quickly than others?
Well, I think there's probably two answers to this. I think that answer is yes, because of the reasons that you put out. I mean, it's very clear, everything you said. It's open air. There is a distance. And those reasons in and of themselves lend themselves to the sport, as well as the lack of physical contact, by and large, that would lend itself to the sport coming back quicker. The problem will be, will the powers that be in Major League Baseball, will they say, will they get a go-ahead? Because you know they're not going to do something, as you, to use your phrase earlier, they're not going to be the lone wolf. They're not going to make a decision. Rob Manfred won't make a decision in a vacuum. He is going to consult people right up the food chain, right up to the, you know, Anthony Fauci's and what have you, and whether
right.
it's the CDC, the WHO, and so on. And if he gets a go-ahead, I would suspect that the next step would be to have a conference call with all the owners and others and players as well. And I don't even know, Tony, if this would be something that is a Major League Baseball Players Association issue as much as what's the prudent thing to do. But I do think for the reasons that you outlined, I think that if, you know, as I said earlier as well, I think that if we see a sport come back, well, we are going to see sports come back. The one that would come back first would be baseball. The question is when, Tony?
And that's going to be it. And, look, let's do this. Let's take the break, because Carter's email is infuriating. It's also true in certain respects, and it is also, as you mentioned to me in an email before we came on, representative of a school of thought. So it is worthy of discussion at length. So I want to do this, because we do have commercial inventory to worry about here, as always.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and say, we both have understood that for many, many years, right?
Yeah.
When we talk about the hierarchical setup, we know where we sit vis-a-vis that, right? Okay, which
no
is
doubt.
Nowhere without it. That's how it works.
The voice
there's
in
a
our
truism.
Ears is like, break! Yeah.
That's right. So we're going to do just that, so that Bobby does not have 15 minutes of commercial in the last 18 minutes of the show. So we'll take a break at the behest of Bobby and come back with more on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 3:31 Bulldog Hours until 4 o'clock on a Friday. Going over emails with CGTDAD1@ATT.net. We'll get to Carter's in just a second, and I don't know that we'll get past it, because there's a lot to unwrap there. when we're done, it'll be time for our friends Nick Papagni, Nick Anderson, with our great friend Rod Abedikian at Fashion Furniture. The Zone 4 to 6, they'll have the Valley High School Athlete of the Week ready to go, and we hope that everybody continues to pay attention to what goes on with the student-athletes, and it does lead perfectly to Carter's email. And Christopher, I want to preface this by saying again, and I brought it up last hour, you and I talked about it the other day, nothing in all of this as far as the suspension or cancellation of sport, nothing hits either of us more strongly than what's happening to the student athlete. We understand the professional athlete and the dilemma that those individuals face, but the student athletes who have dedicated maybe all of their young lives to what they're doing. I brought up Jenna Prandini, who is in her athletic prime and may have the Olympics taken away, for goodness sake. But student-athletes where the highlight of their athletic career may very well be what was just taken from them, the potential that they could have had a state championship, the potential for something in the NCAAs. Both of us are bothered by this, and I want to make that clear. And when Carter talks about at the end of this, because I'll read it verbatim, that we're destroying the special, never-to-be-seen-again moments in their lives at every level, there is a degree of truth for a lot of the individuals, male and female, that are having things taken away. That having been said, this is what Carter said. He said, overreaction, plain and simple, from a sporting perspective, we're painting with too broad a brush and trying to protect these young, strong student-athletes who really, frankly, don't need that much protection. We are destroying special, never-to-be-seen-again moments in their lives at every level. Christopher, I don't dispute the emotion. I guess my question to Carter would be, what do you consider overreaction when we don't know the ultimate outcome of this? I have relatives in Italy that will tell you that this has cost them family members. They never expected it. People that were relatively healthy on a Saturday were gone by Monday. But I don't dispute the emotion, but how do we resolve this?
Well, there's a lot there with Carter's email. Number one, Carter is one of many who feel like he does. For him to say overreaction, plain and simple, I just categorically and wholeheartedly disagree with that. It's not plain and simple. Tony, number one, as of 10 o'clock this morning Pacific time, there were 137,445 cases worldwide, 5,088 deaths. Here in the U.S., again, as of 10 this morning, 41 deaths, 1,600 cases. When you start figuring those numbers, that's not a great mortality rate. When I hear world-renowned infectious disease doctors who have spent their lives here in the United States, in Europe, and in Asia, telling me what this virus is about, how it spreads, how it moves so fast, I guess when I hear, I have friends and I have family members who feel the same way as Carter. But what I would say to him and what I have said to them, and I'm not being remotely sarcastic or facetious, is I've just heard these other renowned physicians tell me their thoughts. What credentials do you have to make the judgment that this is nothing but an overreaction, plain and simple? And I think, and this is where I was listening to your discussion with Marcus earlier, when you talk about flattening the curve, the point of flattening the curve is you might not stop the cases growing, but you're going to slow it down. And that's the whole point of taking preventative measures. Here in California, the Department of Public Health, limiting gatherings, whether it's concerts or city functions or sporting events, to 250, no more. In the state of New York, 500. States across the country are doing the same. The whole point of flattening the curve is to take those preventative measures so that the medical community, hospitals and what have you, can have the beds available so that you can be treated. If you need a ventilator, if you need to be in the ICU, there's going to be a bed there, and so that the medical community worldwide is able to try to catch up to this fast-spreading virus. To the other part of what Carter said, I feel it. I feel what he's saying. You know, we have on my program had so many of these wonderful athletes, these student athletes from Fresno State on, right, men's athletes, women's athletes. And it tears my heart out to this softball team in the national rankings and people, players like Ms. Schuyler and Ms. Dolcini, I mean, just doing amazing things. You saw the women's basketball team and the wrestling team and on we can go. But the other part, it hurts, and we're going to start featuring a lot of those athletes on my program, Tony. But the other part of what Carter said, when he says we're destroying special, never-to-be-seen-again moments in lives, here's where I'm encouraged. Number one, I don't agree with that, because unless you're a senior, I don't agree with that. Sometimes the greater good is going to take precedence over individual and collective team activities, and that's just the way it is. Society takes precedence over a team. But the NCAA has come out today, their Council Coordination Committee, and they have agreed to grant relief for the use of a season of competition for student athletes who have participated in spring sports. That's the direct statement. The committee, and I'm also reading from the statement, will also discuss issues for winter sports student athletes. Now, that in and of itself is a little complicated, because if athletes want to come back, coaches are going to have a decision because of scholarship limitations, because of team member limitations. Who's coming back? Are seniors going to exercise that ability that the NCAA appears ready to give them? We've got recruits coming in. How do we find that balance? But I think it's really the antithesis of being tone deaf, which the NCAA, Tony, I think you would agree, often is, that they understand that there are athletes at Fresno, from Fresno State to Duke and from New Mexico to UCLA and to Syracuse, that have lost either half or most of their senior year, and they're trying to address that. I think sometimes the greater good is what matters. But in terms of the overreaction, I'll tell you what, Tony, and forgive me for using the same example, but it's like you're living on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and you see on the map, and you see that the Category 4 or 5 hurricane is approaching, and the person decides to stay home, and he or she lives, and they say, see, it was no big deal, but they ignore the fact that there's hundreds of millions of dollars in their community and other lives lost. The point is, it's not an overreaction. When societally, locally, regionally, nationally, globally, we try to take precautions for the greater good. And frustrating as it is, my kids have had their activities cut into, Tony. Sometimes the greater good in the short run is for the greater good in the long run.
Well, you're right. And look, Carter, if you're listening, you may very well be right about everything you say. We just don't know. We were talking about the fear of the unknown versus the fear of the known last hour. Also, what you bring up, and I know you've gone through the same thing. I contacted coaches and players directly, Fresno State, and they said, you know what, talk to us after March 18th. You know what
yep.
I mean?
Yep.
Because
yep.
Nobody wants to say anything until the university makes a comment. But as you will do, I will do as well. We'll get as many of the coaches and players on as we can.
Yes.
For me, it's one of the rare chances at 2 o'clock to do it, because they're normally out on the field, right?
That's right.
I mean, that can preclude it from happening, but we will make an effort. I know you will as well. So between 2 and 6, guys, you're going to hear coaches and players as much as we can manage. But there's something else, and I brought it up last hour, and I want to get your feel about this, because I don't know. The question came up, and I related to Marcus, about, let's say for the sake of argument, CG, that Fresno State says, okay, we know what the NCAA has done, and I am, by the way, somebody who thinks they should not have canceled the spring championships yet. I think they should have put a hold on them. I understood the winter ones because we're so close to them. I just don't know that crossing off Omaha in Oklahoma City was necessary right now, but I know they have other logistics, so I'll at least defer to them in that regard, but I do question it. But beyond that, I had mentioned, we know what the NCAA is doing. We know what the league is doing. Let's say for the sake of argument that Fresno State looks at this and says, you know what, we can test players, softball and baseball, the bat and ball sports. We do not have to take plane flights. We have much greater control with bus trips because you can roll windows down. You don't worry about other people coming aboard that you don't know. So you can control the environment more. CG, could you see any viability having a bus league with California schools playing one another, or is that not realistic?
Boy, Tony, it's a great question. And you know, I guess, again, it's, you know, two things can be true. I could see it happening, but Tony, I just wonder. I wonder if, you know, we both know, and you know this much, much better than I do. Fresno State, in the 5 years that I've been here in the area, they've always struck me, especially under President Castro's leadership, and now certainly the athletic department under Terry Toomey's leadership, to err on the side of being cautious or overly cautious in terms of how they proceed and what they do, and more specifically, Tony, what they say. They're very careful, and that is a through line, as we both know, right down through the SIDs in the department, and I have great respect for that and for the leadership from both President Castro and Terry Toomey. And because of that, Tony, I guess even if I thought that it was viable and it would be interesting and we would probably want to go and watch, I think that the school or schools throughout California would err on the side of, we're just not sure that we should be doing this yet. And then they would have to gauge what the family reaction would be. What would they do if they were, let's say, Terry Toomey and President Castro and Linda Garza and Mike Batesole and all, they were all on board to do this. The athletes thought, this is great, we're going to get back in the field. But what do they say if, again, hypothetical, Tony, if a preponderance or the majority of the athletes' families were swamping Fresno State, both President Castro's office and Terry Toomey's office, with emails and phone calls saying, I don't feel comfortable with you doing this, then they find themselves in a bit of a conundrum, and how do they proceed from that?
Well, I think that's a great question. The other one is the one that we talked about last hour, and that is the liability issue.
Yeah.
I don't know, and that's always going to be there, and it's one of the reasons that there is hyper-caution, as you know. You have liability issues. You always have lawyers circling, for goodness sake, right? And you have to be careful.
Yeah.
And because of it, I look at that not only let's take it in a more a universal area here, beyond just what the university faces. You've got high school kids that just, I mean, maybe, and you know this from living in different parts of the country. Okay, if you're bundled up right now, Christopher, in early March, even though you know intellectually in another month or so the weather might turn nice, it can kind of be out of sight, out of mind. You might say, you know what, okay, we're not going to have bat and ball sports. Well, you know what, it's freezing out there. That is not the case in California, all right? It is 75 degrees. The hardest thing about living out here is when you're inside, you want to be outside, and it never changes. I mean, I still want to go out and have a pickup basketball game, all right? It would have, with my friends, it'd probably have to be wheelchair basketball at this point, all right? But I'm saying I would like to go out. I don't know if it goes to you. I have the same feeling that I did when I was 18 years old. I want to go out and play competitive games with my friends, all right? I mean, that's how I felt right out of high school when that organized stuff ended for all of us, pretty much, right? But can't do it. Physically can't do it. It doesn't mean I don't want to do it. So I can imagine at the high school level right now, it's got to drive you out of your ever-loving mind. I know the college guys are going stir-crazy, but can you imagine being someone at Bullard or at Clovis West or whatever and knowing you're not going to play when you want so desperately to go out there and participate? Don't you say, let's get 18 of us, put 9 on each side, and let's go ahead and play this thing? Don't you want to do that?
You definitely do, especially when if you have family in, say, New Mexico. And I was looking at my friends over at my friends Jim Villanucci and Sam Hauser, the Jim Villanucci show at ESPN Albuquerque, where they're out at the high school covering the state tournament.
Good Irish guy, huh? Jim Villanucci, good Irish guy. Yeah. Is that it?
He's Irish with 10% Italian, and he tells me, he has told me on my program that he is loosely related to you.
But, aren't they all? Okay.
Well, that's, you know, anybody with the name Edie Zerikis, I got, they're a cousin. Yeah,
you got it. Exactly. That's how it works.
But, you know, they're seeing the kids there, and they're seeing them playing, and they're rightfully asking, why aren't we playing? And, Tony, I'm glad you mentioned back in the Midwest. I talked to my friend yesterday in North Dakota, and he was telling me that you really don't get the sense there. He's in Fargo. That you don't get the sense there that there's really that big of an issue, because as of yesterday, they had one confirmed case, but you're walking around bundled up unless it's 30 degrees, and then you're in t-shirts there because it's been 30 below yep. for the last 4 weeks. but you're right. It's not something that you're feeling there, because you're basically staying indoors. You're inside, and you feel almost impervious to it. So it's such a different mindset here. Kids want to be outside. I don't blame them at all. But you know that we go back to the very beginning, Tony, when one conference or one school district or one league makes a decision that says, we feel it's in the best interest of trying to slow down this virus and at least try to start climbing the mountain of containing this, we feel the most prudent decision here is to shut stuff down. Everybody else becomes forced to do that, Tony. Not forced per se, but they feel like, well, we can't be the only ones out there. And I feel like everybody is being good citizens. And I mean that in terms of collectively, whether it's a school district, whether it's a high school conference, a college conference, the NCAA as a whole, or professional leagues, I think everybody is trying to do their little part, enough little parts that go into one giant recipe of trying to slow this thing down so the medical world can get a little bit of a handle on it. The problem is, as you said, you feel. I feel for my daughters and their friends and all the kids that are cheerleaders and athletes, both the spring sports and sports that hadn't even started up yet. You feel yeah. for them, Tony.
Well, you do. And, you know, collegiately, I would like to see them go ahead for the winter sports as well, and because people didn't get to finish, and give them the option of another year. Now, some people may be ready to get on with their lives, et cetera, or if you have a high-level athlete, maybe off to the NBA draft, what have you. I would like to see them grant that extra year for everybody across the board. I know they'll do it for the spring. I don't know about the winter. But high school is even more complicated, because truly you're going to get on with your life. You can't grant somebody another year of eligibility in high school, okay? Nobody's hanging for that. So for those that are being deprived, never mind of the postseason, being deprived of the rest of the league year, it is a terrible blow. It's just awful when, you know, they're not compensated for it. They are doing this because, yeah, okay, maybe there's a scholarship out there for them, but most times it's just love of the sport and you can't do it. It is a terrible situation, and it's truly a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
There is no good answer right now. It is the fear of the known versus the fear of the unknown. And I go back to the line, and I've used it so often on air, is one of my favorite sports quotes of all time. And that was Jim Mora Sr. sitting in front of the assembled media after Peyton Manning had a less-than-great game against the 49ers, as a matter of fact. So when the 49ers had that brief flurry where they were fooling themselves into thinking they were going to be good again instead of getting really lousy, right, they put a Band-Aid on it. So for a fleeting moment there, as we rolled into the 2000s, a fleeting moment, they were still competitive, and then they became a disaster until they break my heart like they did last year. It was easier when they were a disaster, as a matter of fact, than what happened this last year. But the criticisms of Peyton Manning, and Jim Mora sat there in front of the assembled media and he said, "You think you know, but you don't know, and what's more, you never ever will." And his point was to the media at that time, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You don't know that the reasons that we made the decisions we made are between us and the player. That's the deal. So you can go ahead and guess about it, and your conjecture, you can throw it out in a column, but you don't know what we know. That is applicable to this. You can think you know, Christopher, but the bottom line is, and again, I hate the fact that there's no sport. I particularly hate it for the student athletes, because it is a terrible blow on what might be the highlight of their athletic career. It just kills me to think about it. But the reality is, you may think you know, any individual out there, you don't know, because nobody knows right now what's going to happen. That's the cold, hard truth. And there's no resolution to it short term.
It is. And that is the one part of Carter's email that I agree with, when he says at the very end, in parentheses, talking about destroying special, never-to-be-seen moments in their lives at every level. The one level that is painful to think about are what you mentioned, the high school seniors, because they're not going – They're not going to get back players who loved playing the game and played at a high level, but not at a high enough level that they were going to be able to continue playing that sport in college unless it was intramural or club sports. They're not going to be able to play, and they had those taken away, and you really feel for them. But boy, what you said a minute ago is so true, and it reminds me of the amount of times that you or I will, and everybody not everybody, but most in our business who we like to believe are responsible, and we come across a story, and on the surface, Tony, it seems like it's just something horrific, awful, terrible. How could this be the case? But being judicious, you understand. I need to wait for more. I'm going to be second or third and be right. I'm not going to be first and wrong. Sometimes you see something and you say, this can't possibly be the case, and it usually isn't, because, as Jim Morris said, you think you know, but you don't know. And in the case of a lot of things that we go over, eventually we learn some details, but it's the eventually part that forces us to be prudent in how we proceed with something before just jumping all over and making a sweeping statement without having the right information at our disposal.
We are out of time, my friend, but I'll tell you, it is very, very difficult. Everything you said is right on the money when you're talking about a group that's not terribly at risk, which is the young student-athlete, whether it's high school or college. That's what's so tough about this. They don't carry the same risk that others do, but they have to bear the brunt of it because the potential is there. As I let you go, we'll try to end on a smile, and that's going to be Bud's email. Bud said, no sports to send me to the man cave every night? Uh-oh, my marriage is in big trouble. He said so. On that note, truer words, my friend, have never been spoken. I'm still going to the man cave at night. First of all, my wife's going to say, you're not gone doing games, huh? Does that mean you're going to be here the whole time? I'm going to go in the man cave and watch Netflix. How about that? Does that work out okay? How about you?
Nothing wrong with that. There's some great series on there waiting for you. The Mandalorian. All you have to do is know this line, Tony, and that is, this is the way.
That's right. I've got everything from Disney Plus to Netflix to Amazon to BritBox. I got it all. It was for my wife. Now it's going to be for me. We'll see what kind of streaming issues we have when I find out that one terabyte goes away in a hurry. I'll talk to you next week, CG. Take care,
later,
my friend.
Tony.
All right, guys. Christopher Gabriel back with you on Monday. We'll do the same. And right now we'll take a break. Get you ready for Nick and Nick momentarily. One more break to go on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN.